Welcome to a special drive home episode of the Drive podcast. Thanks for tuning in and listening. And there won't be any, not like a preamble to this one like I've been putting on some of the other ones. I'm going to recording this on the way home with a kind of a hot topic issue for me. And so today's episode is all about standardized testing in third grade. And what I see some of those problems of that are. And it comes around from the point of view that I've got a third grade daughter this year who's full of life and super fun, beautiful, and great. Super, just a great kid. And I couldn't be happier as a dad that she is growing like she is in all different aspects of her life. But yesterday she went in and took her third grade reading test for the first day of testing. And today she's taking her second day of testing with the third grade reading test. And I'm telling you, the nerves that I have for her are through the roof. I have a lot to say on this. So to situate the situation in Oklahoma, third graders have to take a test in reading and pass that test in order to move on to fourth grade. Now, there are some ways that a student who fails that test can still advance to fourth grade, but they are significant hoops potentially to have to jump through. But it's state law. It was created by our legislature. It was passed by our legislature. It was signed by our governor. And I pray that these people were well-intentioned. But for the most part, educators were not consulted at all on this. And that's the biggest problem I have, is the lack of teacher voice in the education process. And that really frustrates me, because teachers go to school for years to learn how to teach children of different age groups. And teaching a third grader is completely different than teaching a high school kid. They're completely different animals. And a lot of teachers have master's degrees with an emphasis in several different aspects of education. And for the most part, our political leaders that created this law don't have that same experience that teachers have. They don't work out of classrooms. They don't teach students. They don't deal with some of those things that come along. And I know that our governor has no experience there, as she's a career politician. And that's fine. I'm not knocking that particular thing. But what I am knocking is the lack of teacher voice in the development of these assessments. And then to create a law that says every 8 or 9 year old, every third grader has to be reading at this and such level on this and such day at this and such time of the year and has to pass this test. So there's some problems there. One of them is that if you line up every third grader all across the state of Oklahoma and you put them in a line, they will be in different sizes with different shapes. I have yet to see two third graders that are exactly the same in every aspect of their being. Even twins have differences that parents can usually identify. And so there's your first thing. So not every student has the exact same look, the exact same shoe size, the exact same pants size, the exact same shirt size. None of that. None of that matters. They also don't have the exact same cognitive ability. Look no further than the reading's good friend, the reading test, his good buddy, the math test. My daughter this year is in third grade math. Part of her class is in fourth grade math, okay? They've separated out those two things to put those kids in developmentally appropriate spaces. And that's fine. Kids should be challenged and they should be able to learn at a pace that's good for them. But that right there is the issue that I'm talking about. The fact that we recognize that kids can learn third grade math and fourth grade math in third grade at different levels, why do we come back then and go with reading? Everybody has to be at the exact same place, at the exact same time, period, end of story. And that's my problem. That is my biggest problem. And it's very, very frustrating when your hands are tied and you're watching your daughter leave and you hope that she's prepared. And her teacher has been excellent this year. And the resources in her school have been excellent this year. And we haven't talked a lot about the test as something that my daughter must perform on. We very rarely mention it. We went over the test booklet at home because it came home from school one day, and her teacher asked us to go over the test materials with them and work through the problems with them, and we did that, but we didn't talk about, you got to be able to do all this. You got to answer these questions, right? You have to, we didn't go that way. And I don't think that Mayor's teacher did that either. I mean, I'm not in the classroom, I don't know, but there's pressure there. And so before school yesterday, I asked Maren, I said, hey, how are you doing? You ready for, because she had brought it up. I said, are you ready for your test today? You're going to be great. And she admitted that she was nervous about going to school. And she has never, ever said that, never even hinted at it. She loves, loves, loves going to school. And now she's nervous about it. And I asked her why. I go, oh, sweetheart, you know, why are you nervous about school today? You have a chance now to show off how smart you are. And her response was, but Dad, if I don't pass this test, I don't go to fourth grade with my friends. So even as a third grader, she's thinking about this. And I don't know. I have a problem with that. I have a problem with an absolute like that and making it law. It's not good. And Maren has no voice in this at all whatsoever, because we've deemed her to be in the minority until she's 18. And so she can't speak up and share her feelings on this test. She can't speak up and share whether this test is right or wrong, whether she feels comfortable taking it or not. Like, those are things that aren't heard before political committees that meet in state legislators. Like those things aren't heard. That view is not heard. The view from the educator is very seldom heard in these committees where these things are being decided. And it's not right. And that leads me to a second part of all of this. And that is that if I remain silent on this, if I remain silent and don't share my view, and in my opinion, frankly, it's my opinion, then I am accepting the situation as it is. And there's a problem with that. Look around. There's injustice that occurs, and a lot of times people look away and they don't say anything. And when you do that, when you don't address the situation and say something, then you're accepting whatever it is that you're seeing. And I refuse to accept that that testing an 8- and 9-year-old child with such a high-stake test, that is morally acceptable. I have a huge problem that we're doing this, and that by law it is required. I don't care for it at all. Now, if you want to assess my daughter's reading to see how she's doing, how she's progressing, where her weaknesses are, what her strengths are, how can we help her get better, how can we help her to enjoy and have a love of reading, and if the assessment that you want to do is at the end of the year and it provides feedback that helps me as a parent and helps her teacher educate her in a way that allows her to grow her reading, I am all for that. I am all for that. Bring it on. Bring on an assessment like that where we can use it to help our students grow. A majority of the tests that we take in our state, we get no results back. We get no feedback back. We get nothing back until October the next school year. Tell me how that's helpful. Tell me how that's helpful. And when you look at every career that you could possibly go into, there are virtually no careers where you have a one-off, one-shot try on that test. If you want to teach, you have to take a standard battery of tests. And if you fail that test, you can take it again. How many times did you take the ACT growing up? And that wasn't a pass-fail test. I took it several times. I wanted to get into certain colleges. I wanted to get a certain score. I took it a variety of times. If you want to be a lawyer, you have to pass the bar exam. And you don't have one shot to do that. If you want to be an accountant, you got to pass that battery of exams. And you're not even expected to pass all of those exams the first time through as an accountant. You're expected to have to struggle with some of those and do them again. So why are we taking things that adults, grown adults, have the opportunity to do again? And why are we coming at a third grade child and telling them, you have to do this one shot today, and if not, you don't get to go to fourth grade unless you jump through all these other hurdles. And that is wrong. It is so wrong, I can't believe it. Again, my opinion, feel free to disagree. But as a teacher, as a person who teaches, as an educator, as a person with a child who's in third grade, I can't tell you how wrong all this emphasis on standardized testing is. And here's a crazy thought. What if every third grade teacher in the state of Oklahoma said, hey, you know what? I'm not giving the third grade assessment this year. And I know that sounds rebellious and anarchist and all of that, but what if that happened? What would happen then? And I don't know. I'm sure there's some sort of sanctiony thing that gets out there. And I'm not trying to say, you know, lead some sort of crazy rebellion. But my goodness, it's like enough is enough here. And as teachers, if we want to have that change happen, we've got to use our voices for our students and speak out for our students, because they don't have that voice yet, especially the younger ones. And look around our state at what's going on right now. You know, there's like 30, somewhere between 30 and 40 educators now are filing for election into our state Senate and our state House. That's a good thing. That is a great thing. They'll bring a completely different view than people that aren't there that are legislating how school should happen. And I can't tell you how excited I am by that. And I'm sure I will have disagreements with my teacher friends who do this. And that's the beauty of the democracy. But I am so passionate about this right now because I am helpless to help my daughter on this test. There's nothing I can do to help her right now. She's taking the test. She takes her math test tomorrow. I'm nowhere near as worried. Why? Because the state didn't come in and say, hey, every third grader has to pass this math test to go to fourth grade. Will we get to that? I don't know. We may have to live on an island in the Pacific. It's so frustrating. The other thing that was really disappointing with this third grade test situation, the other thing that's critical here that everybody needs to understand, and I don't think most people do, is that this is not a reading test. The third grade test of reading comprehension, or whatever, the RSA test that determines whether a child goes to fourth grade, is not a 100% diagnostic reading test. There's 36 questions out of 50, according to the blueprint on the State Department of Oklahoma's website. There's 36 questions that are related to reading, and then the other ones are not. And so it's not even a diagnostic. So how is that possible? How is it fair then to take more of like an English language skills test and call it a reading test and then tell a third grader they can't go to fourth grade because they passed that or failed it? It's just totally, it's not right. If you want to measure students' skills with English on an appropriate level, with an appropriate age, by all means do that. Use it as an assessment to help the students learn what they need to do to get better, what the teachers need to do to help the students get better. But if you're going to give a student a third grade reading test, it's not a reading test, a diagnostic reading test, with all the other stuff that can go into that, that's not right. It's totally not right. I wrote a blog post on this yesterday as well and shared it, and it's been one of my more popular ones recently, and I know that it's struck a tone, but I really feel like in this situation, this is where, as adults, with common sense, stand up for our kids, and we have to not remain silent on this issue. And I know that for the most part, the people that read my blog, and for the most part, the people that will listen to this, these are educators, and a lot of them feel the same way I do. But we have to get this message outside of our educator tribe. We have to get this message outside of our group. We have to get this message to people that can inform policy and change policy. We have to get this message to people that aren't as involved in the education process. They don't understand our views on this because they don't see them. And it's critical that we cease to remain silent and we cease speaking to our choir on this. We need to share this information with people outside of education. I'm so passionate on this. I had a rant, but I want to convey my voice for my daughter. She is great, and I'm sure she'll be fine, but I don't know, and that sucks. for those of you that are working with our kids during this difficult testing season, it always is difficult and challenging. Learning shuts down for weeks. I thank you so much for your patience, for loving the kids, for working your darndest to help them meet these ever-changing hurdles. You are brilliant, and you are loved, and you are making a difference every day, a difference you will not see and maybe never know about. But you've impacted my own children in ways that you'll never understand, and they love school because of it. They love school because of the teachers they've had. Even the preteen kiddo who's always grumpy, he truly does enjoy his teachers. And I'm so thankful for all of you for speaking into my kids and speaking into me. Thank you so much for listening today, and I hope you enjoyed the drive.